I was just listening to myself speak in the first episode of this podcast, and I've not listened to that recording, and in fact, I kind of don't really listen to a lot of my other recordings at all, if that's recording my own thoughts or just making a YouTube video or something, thinking that I would absolutely, you know, just sound ridiculous, and that I would sound really stupid, and I don't want to listen to myself sounding like that. But you know what? Anybody who's listening to this, if you're having a rough time, and you, especially if you haven't got anybody to that would listen to you, like really, really listen to you, like really empathically and attentively listen to you, make a recording yourself and then listen to that at a later date. Like, you know, it could be months. I mean, in my case, it's like years, many years later. I'm pretty confident to tell you that you're going to listen to that recording with a lot of compassion, with nothing but compassion for that person who's talking and feeling hurt. And that's you. And that's yourself. So I thought I'd start this podcast this way because during awakening, I was going to talk about the many things that you need to watch out for and things that you need to really do for yourself. So during a spiritual awakening, it can be very, very easy to fall into the habit of listening to your previous conditioned thoughts, the thoughts that's been conditioned and internalized from what society, your parents, unhelpful people in your life have ever told you. And most of our thoughts are pretty much made out of the voices that we've heard from the outside in from other people. If that's teachers, authoritative figures, caregivers, friends, you know, TV from, you know, whatever social norm that we're conditioned to believe, most of the times we end up saying those things to ourselves. And unfortunately, most of those things that we say to ourselves are not helpful. And, well, during a spiritual awakening, especially in the pre-awakening stage that I mentioned in a previous episode, before you experience the actual waking up part, and you're going through a lot of turmoil and a lot of suffering, it's very, very important for you to take care of yourself in the form of the following. You absolutely need to connect with nature. So this means going outside. I think at the moment, not many people have trouble going outside, especially in the westernized world. Look, unless there's war and bombs flying over your place of dwelling, obviously don't go outside, but try to connect with the earth in some way. You know, if you have a backyard, or lucky enough these days to have a backyard, go walk barefoot on the grass. You know, even if it's just getting a chair or something, or a yoga mat, or a jute mat, or like a cushion or something, and just putting it into a spot where there's a little bit of sunlight, a little bit of shade, where you can connect physically to the earth. It's a very, very well-researched method nowadays called grounding. Obviously, it's a no-brainer. It's, you know, it doesn't take a scientist to tell you that you feel better in nature, but there's a whole bunch of scientific things that happens, which I'm not going to go into because I'm not a scientist. But also, when Mother Nature and the Earth has its own electromagnetic field, and it's got its own resonance, it's got its own vibrating frequency, vibrational frequency. And when we spend all day tapping into laptops and electronic devices that has a different frequency, especially tapping into social media and all that sort of stuff, which I will go into soon. It's your energy when you're awakening is like when you throw a bunch of dry things into a blender. You know, when you throw, if you can imagine, like throwing nuts and some oats and, you know, like things into maybe a couple of cucumbers. I mean, that's not going to make a good smoothie, but, you know, into a blender. And it's just all like shaking and being mulched up and that kind of thing. So your energy, the energetic field around your person, around your physical body, and the energetic field around your aura, your auric field, is, I wouldn't say, like, it's not cracked or broken or anything, but it can be very unstable during this pre-awakening stage. So when you actually go into nature, and either with your hands, your feet, even better, your entire back or your entire front, like just lying down or, you know, face down into the grass. You know, if you can get to a park or like a clean park, you know, watch out for needles. I mean, these days, you know, you have to be careful of things, but just, you know, check the ground before you lie down. You know, if you, even if you need to put a blanket down, it's fine. As long as you're very close to the ground, the grass, the dirt itself, what happens is that Mother Nature, planet Earth, will connect to your vibrational frequency. So if you can imagine sort of two bubbles, if you can remember those bubble machines, I mean, maybe not even machines, but, you know, those little bubble making toys that's got like a little circle bit, and you dip it into a bit of soap and then blow it out, and the out comes a bubble. Imagine two bubbles colliding, right? So one bubble touches the other bubble, and then what happens? They turn into this one bubble. It's beautiful to see. And so that's kind of what happens when you do this grounding, when you're going through, especially when you're going through a rough time with spiritual awakening. The energetic field in your body will resonate and pop into the energetic field of Mother Earth, and the two bubbles will collide, two bubbles of the energetic fields of you and the Earth will collide, and you're at the closest point of contact to the natural and most harmonious frequency that can align with your body. And that will calm you down, that can help to literally ground you, that can help to protect your auric field from negative energies. Now, don't think negative energies in terms of, you know, bad spirits and ghosts and things like that. They can't hurt you. I do believe that they do exist, but they can't hurt you because I'll go into that in a different, maybe in a different chat. And so so grounding is very important. Touching nature is very, very important. And the more time you can spend in nature, the more different you will feel during your spiritual awakening. So that's the first thing. And there's been actually studies where, they've done scientific studies about green and blue spaces and how people benefit from, you know, being near the water and nature and water and the trees and things. And obviously you can go into the ocean, and that's even better because, you know, it just literally, quite literally soaks your entire auric field. And I relied a lot on seawater in the Bay Area where I live, where there's like a little bay sort of area, not the same as the, I think there's a Bay Area in the US, but I don't live there. So very, very important for you to be immersed in nature. And seawater, funny enough, has I think it's something like more than 20 minerals and components and things that actually recharges your body physically, but also there's something about negative ions or something like that. But you can look up seawater and chemical components or mineral components if you're really curious. It is just a tremendous cleansing and rejuvenating, energizing substance that is incredible for your soul. And even when you just walk bare feet on the beach, it does wonders to calm you down. And the amount of times where I've just been in such a difficult and desperately panicked, even psychotic mental meltdown mode, when I've been that in that kind of a state, I'm pretty sure some of you will know what I'm talking about. But even when I was in that kind of a state where I felt like I was about to jump out of my skin, you know, like I just didn't want to be here anymore. You know, that I didn't, things got so desperate and horrifically panicky and horrible and depressing that, you know, nothing could cheer me up or make me feel better or take me even out of that desperate crisis stage. Even when I was in such a crisis state and trauma state, I would, you know, go to the beach, because at the time, I think, you know, we were going through lockdowns as well, and that was very, very luckily within the radius of my my lockdown distance. And so I was able to go to the beach and actually just touch the sand, or, you know, I would literally just go for a swim, and I would come out a completely different person. And, you know, cold immersion these days have gotten a lot of positive press, and it's been very popular on social media. A lot of people went back into the ocean during COVID lockdowns, and it's really taken off, the cold immersion thing. And my body and my, I feel like my body and my molecules and everything in my body have changed for the better. But it's weird, because I used to really love going to the sauna and spa and steam room, where it's really nice and warm, and, you know, I'd have like really hot, like burning hot, I think they call it lobster hot, showers and baths, and I would just feel so good, and it was just so good. These days I get a mad headache. I get never used to even get headaches. I get these horrible, horrible headaches. that won't go away for a week or more sometimes. After I have a hot bath. Like one day I went to these hot springs near where I live, and you know, they have like spa treatments and things, you know, that kind of thing, like a bathhouse type thing. But it's all natural and all minerals in it. So it's an absolutely amazing place. But when I go there, I mean, the last time that I went was only a few months ago. And this is probably after about 2 years or so of actually just, and especially the last year of swimming and free diving and things like that into the ocean, where it's pretty cold over here where I live in the water. And I'm finding that, yeah, I can't have hot, I can still have hot showers, just not for very long, and not, I can't end the hot shower just by itself, you know. I can't end with the hot. I need the cold in my system to not get those headaches. It's really weird. Anyway, a bit of a digression. So back to the seawater and everything. It's very, very good for you, and it can mean the difference between, I mean, nature, not just seawater, can mean the difference between taking you out of that crisis mode. And, you know, you'll be surprised if you haven't done it already and you're going through a spiritual awakening and, you know, you're in crisis mode, which I would be surprised if you didn't experience at least one or two sort of trauma sort of states or crisis modes when you're going through a spiritual awakening. Yeah, being in nature can make or break, really. So that's the first thing. That is the very first on the top of my list. If I'm just struggling like hell, that's what I'll do. So you need to really regularly go into nature. So the second thing, and it's very important, I think for me, is that any sort of substance. Now, when I say substance, I mean pretty much anything that alters your state of being. Now, that includes physical and mental states of being, emotional states of being. Not saying to stop taking your medication, but when you go through a spiritual awakening, your body is the vibrational frequency and the energy starts vibrating at a higher level, and it starts elevating, and that's why we keep calling it the ascension. Your energetic body becomes lighter. Your physical body, it's changing because of the energetic body taking the physical body with it into a change of frequency, kind of like when, you know, you tune into the radio. I mean, look, you know, these days everything's digital, but if you can imagine an FM or even AM radio, when you're scanning the radio and you're tuning the dial back and forth between stations, there's static, and you hear this, you know, sound. And then you hit a radio station that's at a particular sound wave frequency, and suddenly it makes sense, you know, what they're talking about, because it's at a particular frequency. So it's kind of the same with your spiritual body, that's dragging your physical body along, because the two are intertwined and connected, you know, they won't come apart until you die. It's just, you know, you're intertwined with your spiritual body. And so whatever happens to one will happen to the other. And with the spiritual awakening, the spiritual and energetic body is trying to switch itself, just like that radio dial, to the next station and to a higher frequency. And when this happens, there's a bunch of things that happens in your physical self as well. And so kind of like the static, what you'll hear doesn't make sense. What happens in your body may not even make medical sense. You might have spontaneous healings. You might actually purge. A period of cleansing is very, very natural, normal, and very, very common. So a lot of people might get kind of like drug withdrawal type symptoms with a spiritual awakening, because your body is just trying to purge all the lower vibrating energies out of you. And so that can come out in headaches. It could, you know, it could mean joint pain. Can mean like back pain and confusion and fatigue and, you know, tummy aches and all that sort of stuff. But it could also be sudden or gradual changes in food preference. And also the rejection, the very, very, very distinct and definite rejection of substances from your body. If that's caffeine, even if you don't drink a lot of coffee, you might find that, before you awaken, you can drink, you could have a cup of coffee in the morning, and that's really nice. And it's a nice thing to do, and it doesn't really affect you that much. But when you go through the spiritual awakening, you will actually drink even a sip of coffee and just feel you'll feel that you're about to bounce off the walls, and you're just jittery and agitated, and you just can't even function. So again, your body is becoming more sensitive. So a lighter frequency, a lighter vibrational, higher vibrational frequency means lighter, means more sensitivity in your body. And, you know, you might pass, you know, a lot of stool all of a sudden for no reason. Your body is just trying to reject anything that alters, drags it downwards. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with natural, you know, supplements or anything like that. But your body could actually reject any of those for a number of reasons. And anything that alters your state of mind, like alcohol, you know, I'm actually personally not against cannabis. But when I had my spiritual awakening, and I'm not a big user at all. I microdose and I use it to manage anxiety and pain. And I use a little teeny bit of a few drops of CBD oil, you know, here and there. But after the awakening, even the THC content in the teeny weeny little tiny leaf of a bit of cannabis that I was using, would just disorientate me to the point where I felt distressed. And even CBD oil would distress me. And my spiritual awakening is still going. I believe that I'm at a certain stage still where it's just going in cycles now, but upwards. And my body's just literally rejecting the cannabis. It's not doing what it used to do anymore, and I don't even take that much. And so even natural things like cannabis and things, it just, your body will reject it because it alters your state of mind in some way. Alcohol. And my body was even rejecting the medication that I was taking. And, you know, I would go and take my daily sort of medication to manage my anxiety and PTSD symptoms. And I would just feel physically, mentally, emotionally sick to my stomach. And I would just feel so drowsy, so heavy, so sluggish and fatigued that I would just, it was just, it contradicts everything that your energetic body is trying to do, which is trying to elevate you into a higher plane of existence. And these man-made things, and even, I mean, I was surprised about the cannabis, to be honest, because I thought that because it's natural. But anyway, anything that alters your senses in any way might actually be rejected. And so you really, 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 especially alcohol, you really need to watch out for what you put into your body in terms of substances. So that's the second big, big thing. The third thing might just happen naturally, and that's just your food intake. But because of your heightened sensitivity, and in some people, you know, everybody experiences things different, but there are some very, very distinct same themes that run throughout a spiritual awakening experience. And most people, if you kind of look at or even watch YouTube videos of people talking about their spiritual awakening experience, most of us actually have very, very similar if not identical experiences with these exact things that I just talked about. And one of them being food. You know, you might actually, and it's got nothing to do with the ethic or anything of trying to go vegan, actually, what I'm about to say about eating meat. Although, I mean, that's a huge factor in, you know, trying to go vegan. But a lot of people experience their body rejecting meat. And that's not to do, as far as a spiritual awakening is concerned, it's all to do with your energetic body trying to be lighter and more sensitive. And when you are more sensitive in your body, when you are more sensitive in the energetic body, it naturally wants to go veg. It's just got nothing to do with morals, ethics, nothing to do with that. Nothing to do with, you know, trying to do the right thing. It's got nothing to do with that. It's just a natural evolution of your body, your physical, molecular, biological, chemical reaction in your body of trying to evolve, I guess, into a higher state of being. And when this happens, your body will reject meat and animal products and also old food, food that's just deprived of life. Let's put it this way. Your spirit, your soul, your energetic body is trying to take you into a higher plane of existence. It is evolving into a higher frequency, which means that you're more sensitive. Everything is more alive. And so everything is more vibrant. It's more, you know, it's growing. And you don't want to feed it dead things, right? So dead things includes meat. Dead things include eggs. Dead things include the stuff that comes out of animals. Dead things that includes even when you've made a stir fry vegetable dish 2 days ago and you're eating that, that's the vitality and the vibrancy of that food is gone. And if you eat that during a spiritual awakening, you will feel it. You will feel the difference between eating that and freshly chopped raw vegetables. Because the freshly chopped raw vegetables it's literally still alive, right? So if I don't need to say this to, I think, most of you, but for those who don't know yet, you know, if you actually cut, you know, a piece of a whole celery, right? Get a whole celery from the shop, and you cut off the bottom bit of the celery, or a bok choy, or you know, a carrot, or pretty much any vegetable, you know, you cut it off, and you can grow another one from that bit. Now, you can't do the same with a goat. You can't do the same with a cow, right? You can't cut a piece of steak off and grow another one out of that meat, right? You can't cut off a goat's head and grow another goat head out of that, at least not yet. I don't think, you know, so it's any foods that you put into your body that is deprived of vitality and life or life force, your body might actually reject. Right. So that's I think we're up to three. That's the three things, right? The three really huge things: environment, being in nature. The second thing is substances, any artificial or anything that alters your senses. Get those out of your life. And also food intake. Don't eat dead food that is deprived of life and vital force, vital energy. And the fourth really huge thing for you to do while going through a spiritual awakening to take care of yourself is the internet. The internet is a blessing and a curse in disguise. And I discovered through the knowing, I call the knowing as, you know, you just know, it's an intuitive knowing. When you use social media, especially things like Facebook and, you know, like places where people can comment and just throw their crap at you, and it just becomes a shitstorm in, you know, less than 0.3 seconds. Anything that is connected to other people, but you can't see those people in real life, it can be very, 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 very hazardous for your spiritual awakening. And this is because, and I experienced this firsthand, through the knowing, some of my psychic abilities became, you know, more awakened, for lack of a better word, more activated, right? So some psychic sort of abilities became more activated. And again, I don't see these as being abnormal, special talents of any kind. It's just a side effect of the spiritual awakening, that's all. And very natural, very normal thing to happen. And when I had this happen, I realized through knowing, intuitive knowing, that the reason why you feel so drained and so horrifically distressed from these social media platforms is because once you are in, you are literally in a spider web of threads. And I could intuitively clairsensually, like my main thing was clairsentience. So you could sense things. So it's more of a knowing, more of a feeling, rather than a clear seeing or a clear hearing. So I would turn sensings and feelings into information that was translated into, you know, knowledge. And so basically, you're connected to these threads that are tied to every single person, and also every single person that person is tied to, in terms of any and all of their emotional trauma and experience ever, right? So it's unfathomable how many if you can kind of imagine taking a piece of string, a thread that connects you to the one person that has commented or liked or laughed at or, you know, your post or somebody else's post, right? You're connected to that one person who commented. And of course, there's like millions of people who comment on one post. maybe not millions, but, you know, a lot of people comment on one post, especially if it's, you know, something controversial or something. Even if it's not, you know, people tend to flare up and become, use very inflammatory language. And so what happens is that your string is connected to that, all of those people who have commented, plus those strings, all of those strings that you're connected to all those people who's commented, are connected to every single emotion that all of them feels, every single emotion that they feel, plus those strings are connected to all the people that's ever hurt them in their lives. And so when I can't even fathom how many strings you would use to connect yourself to a web of it's just a mess. It's an unfathomable amount of strings connecting you to the emotions and turmoil and trauma of others and the people who's connected to them as well. And so, you know, I've just got this image in my head that, you know, maybe you can kind of envision holding a whole bunch of balloons, and each and every one of those balloons is a person who's commented on a Facebook post. And there's like 100 balloons because 100 people have commented. But those balloons are connected by other threads, right? And each one of those balloons are connected to like another 100 of the people that they've had negative emotions about, or you know, who's harmed them in some way, who's you know, even looked at them wrong or something. So you'd get you being connected to one person, one balloon, connected to 100 balloons, connected to another 100 balloons, times 100, and it's just endless. And so what ends up happening is that you just you're burdened with pulling the weight of all of these people. And that's why it's so very, very draining and very, very exhausting and distressing, because energetically, these energetic strings are connected to not just one bad comment that made you upset, but everyone behind it. I think I've said that too much now. You get the point. So that's the other thing to watch out for. And pretty much everything on the internet is quite similar, and everything is just connected to everything else. So be really careful about using the internet, about your, you know, with your electronic devices and things like that. So that's the fourth really huge thing that matters a lot when you're going through a spiritual awakening. And I think on that note, I might just keep this a medium-sized chat and leave it there for today. But yeah. Things that you can look after yourself, things that you can do while looking after yourself. And I might actually just say this in every, hopefully, and I remember to say this in every episode. But in terms of spiritual practice, you absolutely need one. And I know a lot of people are quite anti-meditation these days. People are people have this crazy, uninformed opinion about meditation that goes something like, oh, you don't need to sit there and do nothing and om all day to be enlightened. If you ask any of these people how many years they've meditated, the answer is nearly always zero. Maybe sometimes it's the answer is, well, I've done it on and off for many years and, you know, it's not worked. Well, it's not worked because you've done it on and off. There's no consistency. So if a person doesn't have a regular meditation practice, breathworks practice, yogic practice, and I don't mean stretching exercises. I mean the real yoga, as in the yoga that was originally designed thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago for the purpose of enlightenment. Without such a spiritual practice of your own, you will be lost and your spiritual awakening will feel like a friggin' big trauma. It will feel like an entirely huge traumatic experience. And it's people look at someone who's meditating and judge them based on what they can see or they can't see, what they can't see. What they can see is somebody sitting with their eyes closed doing absolutely nothing. And that's absolutely not what's happening on the inside of that person who's meditating, right? So you really, really need to develop breathworks meditation practice, okay? And this isn't just some mumbo jumbo. I mean, these days, you know, there's been countless and very, very in-depth spiritual practice, scientific studies on spiritual practice, especially on meditation and how it is more effective than drugs and in its effect on the brain and its effect on memory, on distress levels, on trauma, addiction. Many, many studies. All you have to do is look up something like, you know, Google Scholar. So don't look in Google. Look in Google Scholar. That's got all the well-researched scientific articles in there. Go to Google Scholar and then type in meditation, you know, even just meditation and no other word. And whatever results that comes up, if there's like a link, a HTML link, or a PDF link, click on that. Some of the other ones don't have the entire articles. But you can read those articles in how incredibly effective meditation is on various different ailments and especially in spiritual awakening. You absolutely need meditation and a meditative practice so that you can awaken safely, so that you don't have to go through all this trauma and all these confusion. It's just utter chaos for someone who doesn't have a spiritual practice to go through a spiritual awakening having absolutely no clue what is happening to them. If you have a spiritual practice like meditation, the real yoga, use yogic scriptures like the Bhagavad Gita, the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali, look into those texts. You can even look, you can even basically listen to Bhagavad Gita and the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali on YouTube. You know, it's just so widely available these days to guide you through what is happening to you. And I feel so incredibly strongly and firmly passionate about this. If you don't have a spiritual practice like meditation, breathworks and yoga and scriptures, You will be very lost through all of this. It might even last for possibly decades longer, years longer than if you awakened with a spiritual practice intact. Anyway, I'll just leave it at that. Look into it. I'm very sure that I'll put up more content with actual practice methods and stuff. But you know, there's enough material out there, really. But you don't have to hear it from me. But I'll end with this, that you can you it's a choice, right? It's a choice how you will have your spiritual awakening. And if you go about doing everything the same way as you did before your spiritual awakening, when you have a spiritual awakening, you will go through hell. And you're going to have to, at some point, make a choice to do this the right way or do this the hard way. Okay. There isn't a wrong way, but there is definitely a hard way, and a much, much easier way to do this. And you don't need to take my word for it. There's enough sages and saints, not me, but enough sages and saints who's gone through exactly this, what you're going through, who has worked out the best way to do this. So why wouldn't you actually just, you know, follow a set of, you know, prescribed instructions and wisdom to help yourself along this path, that you're not like, you know, whether or not you like it, you are having a spiritual awakening. There's no choice in the matter. And so why wouldn't you choose to do it in a more safe and more comfortable way? So okay, well, I'll talk to you in the next episode, and I hope you are okay, and I hope that tomorrow will be better and better.